This episode is brought to you in part by Zondervan, publisher of Ghosted, An American Story, written and narrated by New York Times best-selling ghostwriter Nancy French, and is available everywhere audiobooks are sold.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to our April bonus episode. This is, of course, the bonus episodes are the once a month phenomenon that we make use of to talk about movies that we just don't have space for in the normal schedule of the show. So I'm looking forward to talking about this one. And Sarah, at the risk of maybe spoiling things slightly, mm-hmm. I think you're really looking forward to talking about this one.
I'm definitely really looking forward to talking about this one. It's a movie that I've recommended to a bunch of people already. It's a movie that I think more people should watch. And it's a movie that I'm just excited to talk about in general with you. So looking forward to it.
Yeah. So, well, that's at least one vote for go see this immediately before the discussion is even started. But I guess we'd better introduce the film itself before we go any further and discuss it. We are talking, of course, about Showing Up. This is the latest film from Kelly Reichardt, a director whose films are, in my opinion, only getting better as her career progresses.
Mm-hmm.
This new film centers on another kind of artist, a sculptor named Lizzie, played by Michelle Williams, as she deals with the frustrations and distractions that seem to thwart her ability to focus on her art. And that's really about it. This is, like a lot of Kelly Reichardt films, it's not a narratively complex film. There's not a whole lot of incident. There's not a whole lot of... There's drama, but it's not the sort of histrionic drama that you might expect from a lesser director and writer, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
It's more kind of interested in quietly observing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe we can start talking there, Sarah. I know, like we said, you dig this film. You're looking forward to talking about it. What was it about this film that made such a strong impression on you? Because on the outside, it's a pretty quiet film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's its quietness and its kind of unassuming nature, which is the impression that I get from a lot of Kelly Reichardt's work, is that there's a studied observational quality to the way that she shoots and edits her movies. Like, there's a lot of care, but it's not stilted. It feels very naturalistic. And for me, what really grabbed me about this movie was its clear affection for its subject material, while also understanding the pitfalls of living the life of an artist, either a full-time artist or someone who is literally just trying to make it kind of in between and in the cracks of everyday life. I really love Michelle Williams's performance in this movie as Lizzie. She's under a lot of pressure, and I think that that means that she is really not living up to her best as a person in the week that we see her preparing for her show. She's petty, she's frustrated, she's stressed. There are a lot of additional things outside of her art practice that are grabbing for her attention. Some of them are warranted and some of them are not. And yet she carries a lot of that stress and she takes on a lot of that responsibility. And I think I saw a lot of myself in her frustration. And I think also in her, it's not really a dissatisfaction, but there is a level of comparison between her and another more successful artist. And the look on her face when she sees someone that she admires who is doing much better than she is in the same field, it's a look that I recognize because I feel like I have felt the way that Michelle Williams looks sometimes. And it's a way that made me feel seen, not in a gotcha way, not in a you should feel guilty for feeling this way, just in a it's hard out here for people who have an art practice. And that observational quality that Kelly Reichardt brings to it, where she's just shining a light on this slice of life in an artist's enclave in Oregon. and she's not casting any judgment on it. She's not even trying to build a narrative out of it. There's really not much of a plot to speak of in this movie, but by nature of paying attention to the subject matter, I felt like she was valuing it in a way that its subjects also value the practice and creation of art as well. So it kind of snuck up on me a little bit. I watched it. I enjoyed it. I thought, that was really good. It feels a little bit slight, but it feels really good. And then the more I thought about it, the more I realized like that slightness or that gentle touch feeling is kind of the point of the movie. And that made me love it all the more. And then I saw it a second time and realized, oh no, I actually really love this movie.
It's likely, I think most, if not all Reichert films, it's a grower.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's one of those films like you watch it and there's nothing outwardly going on. It's not, again, like it doesn't stake its strategy in trying to have a lot of narrative or dramatic fireworks. It kind of just observes and lets you discover your affection for it as you go along. Sort of like how the way that Reichert shows these artists practicing their art and just values the practice itself. It's just doing the thing is what this film loves. There's multiple times throughout the film where we just cut away from whatever Lizzie is doing just to watch some of her students like making some textiles or dyeing fabric or like making a pot. And there's, we don't know who they are. They don't come up again. We don't get a good look at the art they're making. We don't spend a lot of time admiring what they're doing. The film doesn't even really try to make the argument that what they're making is necessarily good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just interested in they're making it. And that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like how this movie leans into the enoughness of it. Like, it's just like, they're making art, and it's good to make art for its own sake. And whether or not it's any good or whether or not these arts end up being successful isn't the point as much.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate that about it. And I also appreciate how at the same time, it's not naive about art. It's not like, oh, it's enough to make art, and so everything is roses all the time. Because it's very careful to show how Lizzie does kind of get a little, she's kind of got a little bit of envy or bile, you know, kind of when she sees this other person who is not only more successful than her, but is also her landlady and is kind of a thoughtless person at times.
Mm-hmm.
Like how she has this artistic success that Lizzie kind of wishes that she had, and it galls her a little bit. And the film is very open about that and doesn't try to romanticize it or make it out to be anything more than just like one artist kind of wishing they were as successful as another artist, which anybody who's done any sort of, not even artistic pursuit, anybody who's ever tried to do anything and has not been as successful at it as another person knows that feeling and can empathize with it. It's not necessarily good, but it's very human and understandable. And I like how the film just is honest about it.
Yeah, there's always a bigger fish, to quote Qui-Gon Jinn about this Kelly Reichardt movie. Yeah, I love that relationship between Lizzie and her landlord, Joe, who's played by Hong Chau, also very good in this movie. And I love that it's a very complicated relationship. It's not just the landlord and renter relationship. It's not even the we're peers as artists relationship. I think it's implied that the two are classmates, like they were in the same class at the art college that Lizzie now works at as an administrative assistant, essentially, when she's not doing her own art. And I think it's also crucial that the film makes it clear that both of these artists appreciate each other's art too. We get a couple of exchanges where Lizzie is over in Joe's house and she looks over and she notices that a sculpture that she had made in art school is still being displayed. And at one point, Joe points out that something that Lizzie has done, like an artistic choice that she made, is something that she thinks is really cool. And I think some of the envy that stems from Lizzie's lot in life is she's seeing a lot of Joe's art on display. Joe is also working towards getting two shows set up at the same time. Like, again, she is technically a lot more successful because she's able to do that artwork full time, where Lizzie is not. And we see Lizzie wandering around one of Joe's shows and looking up at the art. And you can tell that she's not just looking at it out of a sense of envy. She's looking at it out of a sense of, I'm envious because Joe is able to display this work in this specific space, but she also appreciates that artwork as well. It's not a, I'm better than her and therefore I should be more successful than she is. It's, she's really good. Why am I not getting that same level of recognition as well? And I think that kind of gets me to the art that Lizzie makes herself. She's a sculptor. She's making these ceramic like statues of girls in different like positions and in different like modes of movement, like a lot of jumping and a lot of like moving around. And there's kind of this kinetic quality to the work. It's also not really my style of work, but the movie, like it's not a piece of art that I would have thought to appreciate, I think. But the movie teaches you how to look at it. The opening credit sequence is literally just shots of watercolor paintings of what will become these statues. And the camera spends a good amount of time on these paintings. And then when you recognize those paintings, when they're in sculpture form, like you can see what the original thought was and then how it got brought into being and how it's shifted a little bit over time. And it kind of makes you study those sculptures a little bit more. This movie is very interested in process, but it's also very interested in the act of appreciation as well.
Yeah, it's a patient film, and I don't know, I've talked on the show before about how it can be frustrating sometimes to watch movies about artists because the movie is either not interested in the artistic process or is dishonest about it.
Hmm.
And I think Reichert's big strength with this film is that she has the patience to just sort of observe an artist working, and how that's often just they're listening to music while like tying some wire around a thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's not like there's nothing sexy about it. It's not really interesting. It doesn't really, it's not this deep spiritual connection they have with tying this wire around a thingy. They're just tying the wire around it because that's the step they need to take in order for this sculpture to take shape. And I really like that. I like a film that is interested in just taking the time to observe and to capture a little slice of something real. And I mean, that's kind of what all these artists are trying to do. They're trying to capture something. And Reichert is, in her own way, doing the same thing. And the way that she's also able to weave human moments into it as well, so it stays grounded in it's not just an abstracted piece about art. It's about a specific individual who is making art. And I think that's where the interpersonal dynamics between Lizzie and all sorts of people in her life come in.
Mm-hmm.
And that also is part of what makes the film so strong.
Yeah, I think the core tension in this movie is it's about the process of creating art, the drive to create art without that romanticizing because it is hard work, and then trying to be able to find the time and the space to be able to dedicate yourself to the practice of creating art, and then also feeling the obligation to, you know, show up for the other obligations that are pressing on you. And I think the other piece that I appreciate about the contrast between Joe and Lizzie is their complete opposite approaches to that sort of problem. Joe is willing to spend her time using art, like making art as work, whereas Lizzie feels those pressures and obligations from everybody else, but she also still feels that drive to create. And it engenders a little bit of bitterness, but I think it also makes us value the amount of time that she is able to spend just sitting in front of the camera, sculpting arms onto one of the statues that she's working on. And I think it also made me appreciate just the process of, well, what are all of the administrative steps that you have to go through in order to be able to complete an artwork piece? We get a little bit of the, not really the politics, but the interpersonal relationships around the art college, where Lizzie has to take her sculptures to the kiln in order to get fired. And if you don't show up on time, then you're probably going to get a bad space within that kiln. And so your artwork may not come out the way that you expect it to. And there's a lot of disappointment inherent in that. And I think what I appreciate is that that's something that is just a reality of the world that Lizzie lives in, but it's not the inciting incident. Like, having something turn out the way that you didn't expect it to be isn't, you know, a complete and total disaster. It's just one small thing that gets piled up on top of everything else. And it's related to the artwork, but it's also related to the fact that Lizzie wasn't able to get into the art school on time that day because she was dealing with something else. Like, it's all interconnected and it's all complex, but it doesn't look complex from the outside. It feels effortless, at least the way that we're able to watch her go through this labor of creating and doing what she loves while also still having to negotiate the day-to-day as well.
This episode is brought to you in part by Thomas Nelson, publisher of Grieve, Breathe, Receive, Finding a Faith Strong Enough to Hold Us. Written and narrated by Pastor Steve Carner. Grieve, Breathe, Receive. Those three words became a profound mantra for Steve Carner during a season of deep healing, the kind that comes after painful trauma. Grieve, Breathe, Receive is available everywhere audiobooks are sold. Visit thomasnelson.com/audio to learn more.
Have you seen Jim Jarmusch's Patterson?
I love Patterson.
I was thinking about Patterson a lot while watching this film, because that's another movie about an artist who's juggling both their art and also kind of just the everyday demands of life. Mm-hmm. In Patterson, he's a bus driver who kind of just like has to do his writing while he's, you know, driving his route. Mm-hmm. And the way that he has made, not compromises, but has made arrangements with his living situation in order to make the creation of his art possible. And it reminded me a lot of how in this film, Lizzie also kind of, she's got obligations. She has a brother who has difficulties. Mm-hmm. She has an apartment that doesn't have hot water. Mm-hmm. She has a cat who attacks birds that then she has to nurse back to health.
Yes.
Like, all these things. And what I liked about Reichert's approach to that is that they're not just distractions. Mm-hmm. They're in Lizzie's mind, they're kind of distractions, but also they're part of her life, just as her art is. And the film makes time for those and shows how, on some level, she understands that she must make time for them as well, that art isn't everything, mm-hmm. that there are other things that should be done, even if they don't have to be done, they should be, and she does them. And that, I think, is, I appreciated how, again, it doesn't romanticize the artistic life. Mm-hmm. And it also is kind of a nice counterpoint to Patterson in that she's not necessarily happy with the way things are. Mm-hmm. Adam Driver in Patterson is very content with his life. Mm-hmm. Lizzie is less content. And yet she keeps doing it. She keeps plugging away, and her art show does happen. And that's nice. It's nice to see something that's very frank about her challenges without romanticizing on one hand or making it seem like a grand struggle on the other.
Yeah. She's not making a living through her art. She's making a living through being an administrative assistant working for her mom at the art college. So we just recorded an episode about, you know, difficult parental relationships with mothers. Yeah. And so there's another connection between episode 378 of Seeing and Believing in this one as well. And I think that adds some other like additional dimensions of like the expectations that somebody may have had for you as an artist. Like, either you're going to grow up and become a great artist, and that is what you are supposed to do. Like, I feel like that's something that gets romanticized in movies a lot, is that stroke of genius or being recognized for the hard work that you've done or the, like, intense skill that you've had to cultivate in order
making
to practice
it,
that.
Essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever that means.
And in this case, it's not really about making it. It's just about being able to, you know, show up, like the title says, where even making it isn't going to be the realistic goal. I think most artists live a life that looks much more like Lizzie's than they do like Mozart's in Amadeus. And this movie isn't here to preach about that or to say, like, we should appreciate underappreciated artists more. It's just about these are the different things that you have to negotiate in order to live a full life. And it seems to me that even though Lizzie herself seems frustrated with her lot in life, she also has a good and full life at the same time. And I get the sense, too, that she's under a lot of pressure and she's under a lot of stress in this one week, and she's not that person all the time. Like, she is that person because she is that character, but this is her at her worst, and the movie isn't going to villainize her for that. It's just going to treat her as another character who's just going through a really particularly rough week.
I think also that perspective is literalized in the final sequence of the film, which I really, really like the note that this film ends on. And without spoiling too much, it literally does. It takes a different perspective. It's not, we're with Lizzie for the entire film. We kind of see things the way she sees them. But then at the end of the film, we pull away from her a little bit and we see the world from a different vantage point. And I really loved that touch. As a reminder that, you know, Lizzie's artistic pursuits and the various difficulties are important, but also they're just one small part of an entire world. And also, when she kind of forgets all these things kind of dragging her down and just focuses on upward, shall we say? That kind of it's a shift for her as well. The film ends on a positive note, and part of that is she stops worrying about how well the show's going, whether ever somebody's going to eat all the cheese, you know, at the refreshments table, and she's just walking and looking up, and that's good for her. And I really liked that ending.
Yeah, it feels like kind of an unclenching. Not to say that this is a stressful movie, because I didn't feel particularly stressed watching it. I knew that Lizzie was feeling that stress and that tension, but I think the movie is just far outside of that perspective, that it wasn't too difficult to stay separate from her. And I think a lot of that comes into the way that the movie treats her other relationships with other people. Like, we've talked about Lizzie and Joe, but there are a lot of other interactions with her mother and with her brother, and then with just other people around the art college that she works at as well. And all of these people, again, they're not being romanticized, but I think you can kind of see the appeal in pursuing an artistic life just based on the community that Lizzie is a part of. Like, the Kiln Master is played by Andre Benjamin. Andre 3000. And he's great. He's the kind of person that I would want to, like, shoot hoops with while he's waiting for the kiln to finish cooling down. And the way that he kind of talks to some of the other students and gives them coaching on, like, well, what materials did you use for this art? There is that interest in process that the movie has, but I think a lot of these other characters have a very realistic interest in that process too, that made me feel as though the world outside of Lizzie is so much bigger than her own small perspective. And the movie doesn't really lose sight of that, even though Lizzie has up until a certain point too.
I really like the scene where Andre Benjamin's character is unloading the kiln. He's handing, you know, different pieces to different owners of those pieces. And the way he does it, he cradles them with such care. And he says, "Here you go. This is so wonderful." Like, the way that he makes that handoff isn't just handing it off, it's bestowing upon them the fruits of their labor, almost like the way that he delivers that line and the way that he physically moves these objects around, I think speaks so much to who he is as a character, and also just the ethos that surrounds the creation of this art as something to be treasured, even if they're, you know, they're just students just making a thing. Mm-hmm. That's valuable, and it has value to them, and the way that he's gentle with them and with their work, I think is really telling. And I don't know, it's honestly kind of a very beautiful human moment in a film that's kind of filled with a lot of those.
Yeah, it feels like I haven't seen very many Reichardt movies. I need to catch up with more of her work, but I like that ethos and I like that sense of gentleness that also feels very realistic at the same time too.
Yeah, it's grounded. I don't know. I think the collaboration between her and Jonathan Raymond, her co-writer on most of her recent films, I think has been maybe one of the more fruitful director-screenwriter collaborations in current filmmaking. It's just, I think there's a low stakes quality to these stories that Raymond and Reichardt write together that I think just jibes really well with her ability just to kind of be quiet, be gentle, observe the world, and that's enough. And I don't know, I just really dig it, and I'm glad that she made another film that I got to see this year.
Yeah, me too.
Listeners, that is our review of Showing Up. Obviously, we both really liked it. If you get a chance to check it out, it is in limited release currently. So if you're near a theater that is showing it, we definitely recommend checking it out. If you don't have that chance, when it makes its way to on demand and rental, definitely, you know, make an effort to try that out as well. It'll be worth your time for sure.
Absolutely.
But that'll do it for this bonus episode of the show. Thanks for tuning in. As usual, you know, like, you can email us or tweet us or hit us up on Letterboxd. We usually give you that whole spiel in the regular weekly episode. So I'm not going to do that here, but we appreciate you tuning in. And yeah, hope you have a great month.
This episode was brought to you in part by the Lord of Spirits podcast. Many Christians yearn to break free of the influence of secular materialism and to understand the union of the seen and unseen worlds as made by God. What is the spiritual world like? Tune in wherever you get your podcasts.